Welcome to Zichu Daf Siman, remembered by Avram Goldhar, and today we're Zechus Adarim, Daf Lamedal, the fourth parak in Bein Hamudar. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, the Gemara records another version of the Machlokas between Rabbi Ami and Rabbi Asi about which case of Mudar Hana one may return a lost item. Here the Gemara says that if the returner was Mudar Hana from the owner, all agree that he would not be prevented from returning the item because the potential benefit of not having to give tzedakah at that time is uncommon, as the Gemara said earlier. Their argument was in the case where the owner was Mudar Hana from the returner. One said the item may not be returned to him because it's considered a tangible benefit. The other opinion held it's permitted because he's just getting back that which is his, as the Gemara had assumed on the previous daf. The Gemara challenges the first opinion, which held that the Mishnah is only speaking on where the returner is Mudar Hana from the owner. But the Mishnah states, Malkum Shenoitin Aleh Haschar Tipo Hana LeHekdesh. In a place where people receive payment for returning lost items, the payment falls to Hekdesh if the returner refuses payment. Now, if the Mishnah is only speaking of where the returner is Mudar Hana, why does the payment have to go to Hekdesh instead of the owner keeping it? The Gemara remains with a question. Point number two, Rav said, Haisu Lefan of Kikar Shel Hefker. If an ownerless loaf was in front of him and he said, Kikar Zo Hekdesh, this loaf should be Hekdesh, the Hekdesh takes effect. The Ran explains that the loaf was within his Dalet Amos, enabling him to acquire it for himself. But since he declared it Hekdesh, he indicated he didn't want to use his Dalet Amos to acquire it for himself, but for Hekdesh. Natalo Ochla Ma'al Lefikula. If he took it to eat it, he violated Mi'ila according to its full value. By taking it for himself, he removed it from the possession of Hekdesh and therefore must repay Hekdesh for its full value plus the required fifth. L'horish Levanav Mal if he tovus hana shaba, but if he took it to bequeath it to his sons, he violated Me'ila only according to the benefit of pleasure derived from his children's gratitude to him. Since he didn't take it for himself, he didn't remove it from the property of Hekdesh, but merely derived benefit from it, and he only needs to pay according to the amount benefit plus a fifth. And pointing with you, Rav Chiya bar Avin asks Rava, if one said, Kikar alecha, nasanu b'matana mahu, my loaf is forbidden to you, and he gave it to his friend as a gift, what is the halacha? He explained that his query was if the implication of my loaf meant to prohibit it only while it belonged to him, but once he gave it to his friend, it would not be included in his neder, or did he prohibit the loaf to him completely? Rava answered that he certainly intended it to remain forbidden even after gifting it, because otherwise, for what purpose did he forbid the loaf to his friend? Rav Chiya bar Avin responded that perhaps his intent was only lafuki di azmana Allah, to exclude if he invited his friend to eat the loaf with him, that he may not do so, but he didn't necessarily intend to prohibit the loaf after gifting it to his friend. So once again, the three points are number one. The Gemara records another version of the Malchokes between Rabbi Ami and Rabbi Asi about which case of Mudar Hana one may return a lost item. Here the Gemara says that if the returner was Mudar Hana from the owner, all agree that he would not be prevented from returning the item because the potential benefit of not having to give tzedakah at that time is uncommon, as the Gemara said earlier. Their argument was in the case where the owner was Mudar Hana from the returner. One said the item may not be returned to him because it's considered a tangible benefit. The other opinion held it's permitted because he's just getting back that which is his, as the Gemara had assumed on the previous daf. The Gemara challenges the first opinion, which held that the Mishnah is only speaking on where the returner is Mudar Hana from the owner. But the Mishnah states, Malkum Shenoitin Aleh Haschar Tipo Hana LeHekdesh. In a place where people receive payment for returning lost items, the payment falls to Hekdesh if the returner refuses payment. Now, if the Mishnah is only speaking of where the returner is Mudar Hana, why does the payment have to go to Hekdesh instead of the owner keeping it? The Gemara remains with a question. Point number two, Rav said, Haisu Lefan of Kikar Shel Hefker. If an ownerless loaf was in front of him and he said, Kikar Zo Hekdesh, this loaf should be Hekdesh, the Hekdesh takes effect. The Ran explains that the loaf was within his Dalet Amos, enabling him to acquire it for himself. But since he declared it Hekdesh, he indicated he didn't want to use his Dalet Amos to acquire it for himself, but for Hekdesh. Natalo Ochla Ma'al Lefikula. If he took it to eat it, he violated Mi'ila according to its full value. By taking it for himself, he removed it from the possession of Hekdesh and therefore must repay Hekdesh for its full value plus the required fifth. L'horish Levanav Mal if he tovus hana shaba, but if he took it to bequeath it to his sons, he violated Me'ila only according to the benefit of pleasure derived from his children's gratitude to him. Since he didn't take it for himself, he didn't remove it from the property of Hekdesh, but merely derived benefit from it, and he only needs to pay according to the amount benefit plus a fifth. And pointing with you, Rav Chiya bar Avin asks Rava, if one said, Kikar alecha, nasanu b'matana mahu, my loaf is forbidden to you, and he gave it to his friend as a gift, what is the halacha? He explained that his query was if the implication of my loaf meant to prohibit it only while it belonged to him, but once he gave it to his friend, it would not be included in his neder, or did he prohibit the loaf to him completely? Rava answered that he certainly intended it to remain forbidden even after gifting it, because otherwise, for what purpose did he forbid the loaf to his friend? Rav Chiya bar Avin responded that perhaps his intent was only lafukin di azmana Allah, to exclude if he invited his friend to eat the loaf with him, that he may not do so, but he didn't necessarily intend to prohibit the loaf after gifting it to his friend. All right, so now we go to a simur daf lamed dalet, and a standard simon is a ladder. A ladder, so here goes. The man who ran up the ladder to avoid his neighbor from whom he was mutar hanah, and who was chasing him to return his lost item, was overcome with emotion when he saw a man be makdish a loaf in his dalet amos and make sure not to be ma'al. So he yelled down to his neighbor that loaf that I made usher to you, I'm now giving you as a gift. Once again, it's emotion. The man who ran up the ladder, that must be more daf lamed dalet. The man ran up the ladder to avoid his neighbor from whom he was mudr hanah, and who was chasing him to return his lost item, which reminds us. The Gemara challenges the opinion which held that the Mishnah is only speaking of where the returner is mudr hanah from the owner. For the Mishnah states that in a place where people receive payment for returning lost items, tipo hanah lehekdesh, the payment falls to hekdesh if the returner refuses payment. If the Mishnah is only speaking where the returner is mudr hanah, why does the payment have to go to hekdesh instead of the owner keeping it? The Gemara remains with a question. So the man who ran up the ladder to avoid his neighbor from whom he was mudr hanah and who was chasing him to return his lost item was overcome with emotion when he saw a man be makdish a loaf in his dalet amos and make sure not to be ma'al, which reminds Rava said, Haisel a fun of kikr shel hefker, if an ownerless loaf was in front of him, and he said, kikr zo hektish, this loaf should be hektish, the hektish takes effect. The Ron explains that the loaf was within his dalet amos, enabling him to acquire for himself, but since he declared it a hektish, he indicated he did not want to use his dalet amos to acquire it for himself, but for hektish. If he took it to eat it, he violated me'ila according to its full value, but if he took it to bequeath it to his sons, he violated me'ila only according to the benefit of pleasure derived from his children's gratitude to him. So the man who ran up the ladder to avoid his neighbor from whom he was mudr hanah, and who was chasing him to return his lost item, was overcome with emotion when he saw a man be makdish a loaf in his dalet amos, and make sure not to be ma'al. So he yelled down to his neighbor that loaf that I made usher to you, I'm now giving you as a gift. Which reminds us, Rav Chiya bar Avin asked Rav, if one said, Kikar alech, my loaf is forbidden to you, and he gave it to his friend as a gift, what's the halacha? He explained that his query was that if the implication of my loaf meant to prohibit it only while it belonged to him, but once he gave it to his friend, it would not be included in his neder, or did he prohibit the loaf to him completely? Rava answered that he certainly intended it to remain forbidden even after gifting it, because otherwise, for what purpose did he forbid the loaf to his friend? Rav Chiya bar Avin responded that perhaps his intent was only to exclude if he invited his friend to eat the loaf with him, that he may not do so, but he did not necessarily intend to prohibit the loaf after gifting it to his friend. So once again, the man who ran up the ladder to avoid his neighbor from whom he was mudr hanah, and who was chasing him to return his lost item, was overcome with emotion when he saw a man be makdish a loaf in his dalet amos and make sure not to be ma'al. So he yelled down to his neighbor that loaf that I made usher to you, I'm now giving you as a gift. All right, now it's time for four ba'al ba'al chazar. Daf lamed. So the simur daf lamed is a melamed. So here goes. The melamed, that must be more than daf. Lamed. The Malamed, who was disturbed by the Talmud who handed a lady passing by to Prutus and said to her, Ba'achis hiskadshili hayom, uba'achis hiskadshili la'achar she'agar sheikh, which reminds us, Bar Pada's ruling about one who declared his saplings kaddish until they are cut, that each time he redeems them they revert to a state of kedusha, is brought to resolve a question where one gave two Prutus to a woman for kedusha and said, with one of you shall be married to me today, and with the other you shall be married to me after I divorce you, if the second marriage is effective. So the Malamed, who was disturbed by a Talmud who handed a lady passing by two Prutus and said to her, Ba'achis hiskadshili hayom, uba'achis hiskadshili la'achar she'agar sheikh, was so outraged when he turned to his white-haired and balding Rebbe and declared, I am forbidden to benefit from the black-headed, which reminds us, the second Mishnah on Amud Beis states, Hanod Meshkoya Rosh, one who vows from the black-headed, meaning those with dark hair, he's forbidden to benefit even from bald people and the elderly who have white hair, and he is permitted to benefit from women and children because only men are referred to as black-headed. So the Malamed, who was disturbed by a Talmud who handed a lady passing by to Prutus and said to her, Ba'achis hiskadshili hayom, uba'achis hiskadshili la'achar she'agar sheikh, was so outraged when he turned to his white-haired and balding Rebbe and declared, I'm forbidden to benefit from the black-headed, that he told the boy's mom that none of her children can ever join his class, including both the Yehudim and the Noladim, which reminds us the next mission brings some halachos regarding who is forbidden when one vows from Yelodim and Noladim. Daf Lamed Aleph. So the Simur Daf Lamed Aleph is based on association to the law, and we use a judge. So here goes. The judge. Judge? That must mean we're in Daf Lamed Aleph, the law. The judge who accidentally broke the craftsman's gavel while inspecting it and was about to pay, which reminds us, Shmuel said, Hokech klimin u'umen levakru, one who takes a utensil from the craftsman to examine it for potential purchase, and there was a mishap in his hand, he's responsible to pay. The one explains the item had a fixed price and the potential buyer knew that if he wanted to purchase the item, he could. The only one to benefit from the purchase is the buyer. As the Gemara explains, it was high-demand merchandise that was being sold at a moderate price, and he therefore has the status equivalent to a shoel, a borrower, who's responsible for all accidents because kohana shelo, all benefit is his. So the judge who accidentally broke the craftsman's gavel while inspecting it and was about to pay was approached by the moyel from 1-800-GEDOLA-MILA, which reminds us the mission brings a number of Tanaim who give different reasons as to why GEDOLA-MILA, Mila is great, such as 13 brisos are made on it and it's Tocha Shabbos. So the judge who accidentally broke the craftsman's gavel while inspecting it and was about to pay was approached by the moyel from 1-800-GEDOLA-MILA, who begged him to come quickly and be the Sunday for a bris taking place next door at a hotel, which reminds us the reason for Moshe Rabbeinu's punishment upon his return from Mitzrayim was because he involved himself with lodging first instead of immediately circumcising his son. Daf Lamed Beis. So the Simur Daf Lamed Beis is a scientist in a lab. So here goes. The scientist in a lab. Scientist in a lab? That must mean we're in Daf Lamed Beis. The scientist in a lab named Avraham, who was experimenting with time travel so he could go back to the past and fix the causes for slavery, which reminds us different reasons are given as to why Avraham Avinu was punished and his descendants enslaved in Egypt for 210 years. So the scientist in a lab named Avraham, who was experimenting with time travel so he could go back to the past and fix the causes for slavery, punched into his computer the code 172 and 248, which reminds us we learned from the Gematria of Akev 172 that Avraham Avinu recognized his creator at age 3, and from the difference in Gematrias between Avram and Avraham, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Avraham Avinu sovereignty over 5 additional limbs when he had Bris Milah. So the scientist in a lab named Avraham, who was experimenting with time travel so he could go back to the past and fix the causes for slavery, punched into his computer the code 172 and 248, and found himself instead back in his childhood, trespassing a neighbor's property while carrying his toy science kit. Which reminds us, the fourth parak begins, Ein bein hanudra hanam mechaver lemudra hamenu macho. There's no difference between one forbidden by neder from benefiting from his friend and one forbidden by neder from his food. Odris is a regal v'kelim shein osimehem ochel nefesh, except walking through the other's property and utensils not used to produce food. Daf Lamed Gimel. So the Simur Daf Lamed Gimel is a peg leg pirate. So here goes. The peg leg pirate. Peg leg pirate? That must be more on Daf Lamed Gimel. The peg-leg pirate who prevented his men from giving a sack to carry fruit to his captive, who was mooter from food, which reminds us, the Gemara asks why a mooter from food would be prohibited to borrow kalim used to produce food, since he made a netter from the food itself. After the Gemara's first attempt was rejected, Rava answers that speaking about one who says, the benefit of your food is forbidden to me. Since he added the benefit, he means to include all items, including producing an edible food. Rav Papa asks, even a sack to bring food in would be included in this netter as a method of obtaining food, although it doesn't prepare the food itself. So the peg-leg pirate who prevented his men from giving a sack to carry fruit to his captive, who was muta from food, was surprised when the captive's friend jumped on the ship to pay off his debt, which reminds us, the Mishnah states about a muta hana, shokel is shekel, he can pay for his half shekel, pora is chovo, he can pay off his debt, umaksu lo savedo, so and he can return his lost item. The Gemara observes, alma avruchi ari ba'alma hu vishari, we see that it's merely chasing away a line, and thus forbidden, meaning the first two cases, paying for his half shekel and paying off his debt, are not considered a benefit received, they are merely protection from a potential loss. So the peg-leg pirate who prevented his men from giving a sack to carry fruit to his captive, who was muta from food, was surprised when the captive's friend jumped on the ship to pay off his debt and return the pirate's lost parrot, even though the pirate had forbidden this friend to benefit from him. Which reminds us, the Gemara records machlokas between Rabbi Ami and Rabbi Az regarding in which cases one may return a lost item to a muta hana. The argument is in a case where the returner is prohibited from receiving benefit from the owner. One says he may not return the item in this case because while he's involved in returning the item, he's patur from other mitzvahs, including tzedakah, which potentially will save him money. The other opinion says that this potential benefit doesn't prohibit him from returning the item because it's uncommon for a beggar to come at the very moment he's tending to the lost item. All right, so now it's time to conclude their pop quiz of 10 questions. Number 1. Which daf do Rabbi Ami and Rabbi Asi have a machlokas when one can return a lost object when the returner is forbidden to receive benefit from the owner? That's on daf Amud Gimel. Good, number two. What shall they learn if an ownerless loaf was in the Dalet Amos of someone? He said, Kikerzo Hektish, the loaf should be Hektish, the Hektish takes effect. That's on Duff. Amud Dalet. Good, number three. Which is the thing where the Moshe Rabbeinu was punished because he involved himself with lodging first instead of immediately circumcising his son. That's on Duff. Lamed Aleph. Good, number four. Which Duff does the Gemara discuss if someone said, my loaf is forbidden to you, and he gave it to his friend as a gift, what the halacha is? That's on Duff. Lamed Aleph. Good, number five. Which of the one that the difference between a mudar hanaf from his friend and a mudar hamena ma'achal is trespassing and kelim not used for food? That's on Duff. Lamed Beis. Good, number six. Which of the one why Avram Avinu was punished and his descendants enslaved in Mitzrayim? That's on Duff. Lamed Beis. Good, number seven. Which of the one why mudar hanaf from food is prohibited to borrow utensils used to produce food? That's on Duff. Lamed Gimel. Good, number eight. Which of the one that one who vows from Shchori Rosh, the black-headed, is forbidden to men who are even white-haired or balding? That's on Duff. Lamed. Good, number nine. Which of the question, if the mission is only speaking of where the returner is Mudar Hana, why does the payment have to go to Hektish instead of the owner keeping it? That's on Duff. Lamed Aleph. Good. Number 10. Which of the learned Gadol Amil for a number of reasons, such as 13 brisos were made on it and his Docha Shabbos Chamura? That's on Duff. Lamed Aleph. Excellent. That concludes today's shir. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldman Zichu wishing you a great day and great learning.